Hey, before we start today's episode, I just wanted to let you know about our Patreon push. I've been saying it, but I'm saying it again. Thanks for listening. But this bonus episode is brought to you by our Patreon push. We are pushing to try to get 20 more patrons. We're over halfway there. Thank you guys for your support. But also, I just want to implore you to check out our Patreon, because it's more than just supporting this podcast. It's about taking a step to becoming a member, a full-on member of the Cow community. You get access to our Discord, our watch-along pay-per-view hangouts on Zoom, the Cow Zoom Thunderdome, and ton of bonus episodes, content. And once we hit this goal, I'm going to be releasing new Cow art, sending every patron a brand new awesome sticker, and we're going to start the Cow Movie Club back again at for patrons at all levels. And also check out on our Facebook group, Comedians Wrestling Facebook group, the unsolicited praise we're getting for the work we're doing in the Patreon, including our Discord and the Hangout. So check that out. And if you want to be a member of the community and support this independent podcast that we do and produce all on our own, and you listen every week, then I consider you, I implore you, and I beg you? I don't know. check it out. Go to patreon.com/comedianswrestling. Anyway, enjoy this Monday session conversation with hilarious comedian Dan St. Germain. Lime, duh! What up, Jabroniacs? I'm here with a very special guest, returning guest. I'm excited to have him back on the pod. My old L.A. wrestling watching buddy, hilarious comedian. He hosts a wrestling podcast that I've been on called Total Effin' Marks, Mr. Dan St. Germain. What is up, dude?
Hello, Dan. Thanks for having me. I just remembered the last time I think I watched a show with you was it the Rumble that Knock won at your
Shinsuke
house?
I mean, yeah.
And
yeah, I had a huge
and you were the
party.
only guy that I know who had a Roman Reigns protective shield, and the thing is like when you I guess it was new because when you wore it would kind of like pop up a little bit like a baseball umpire uniform.
Yeah, well, they actually, fun fact about that, I bought the Roman Reigns vest, which was a gag I was doing on the show, a very short lived gag. I bought it and I was like, all right, I'm going to wear this vest in every time I record the podcast until Roman Reigns takes off his vest. And then I'm going to record shirtless from there forward. And then Roman kept the vest on for like 5 years. And I was like, all right, I don't want to keep wearing this thing. Very uncomfortable. And this was a very stupid idea. That's the stupid like sketch comedy Dan Black that creeps into the pod where I'm like, this is an audio form. What are you doing? But I'm glad. But yeah, so that thing is.
I tell you though, man, these fucking videos of these podcasts, they help the listens. Our listens went up a lot last week just because we like had a video of Robert Karpolis talking about how he had to like how it's a really funny story how like during the he wrote for WWE and during the Vengeance pay-per-view he I guess like they wanted to have Ric Flair fuck in a limo and they needed like fuck smoke, but the smoke machine broke, so him and like four other riders just had to smoke cigarettes in the limo really fast.
Yeah, I really like Rob. I met him only on your pod, but he's gonna come on here. I think he's coming on next week.
Oh, great!
And my producer was really excited because he follows his Twitter account.
Yeah, it's pretty. His Twitter's pretty badass.
Yeah. We have our YouTube channel. Check it out. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, Comedians Wrestling YouTube channel. And Dan, I got that Roman Reigns vest. Last thing I'll say about it, it's one size fits all, meaning not just like small to extra large or whatever. This is for kids or XXL. It's the cheapest piece of shit that they've ever made. And, it can't be. Maybe some of those
there's no way that it's the worst piece of merch they've made. I remember when I came up in like the new generation where like you would buy like a fucking foam urn, you know, and you thought it was a good idea. And then it was like, why do I have this?
Yeah, I had like an atom bomb where, like, when you even when I would cup it, like, my fingers would go in and they'd actually puncture the Nerf material. You know?
Did you actually have atom bomb merch?
No, the atom bomb. You know, like they were kind of like Nerf footballs that he would
you
throw.
You had an atom bomb.
I actually didn't have an atom bomb. My friend did. So the atom bomb. Was,
I'm gonna look this up right now as we're talking.
You don't know. You don't remember what the atom bomb was?
No, I don't. We should just talk about merch this whole episode.
I'm totally down with that. I love merch. I have a whole. I'm staring right now in my room here at two overflowing drawers of t-shirts. Like they're. I can't keep them in.
Yeah, but I can't buy anymore, man. It's gonna be
Well, yeah, all the married guys, it's like, it's a problem. You know what I mean? It starts being a story.
Oh, I remember this. Yeah, these are actually pretty cool. I'm such a fucking mark, man. Like, look at this. I'm looking at this atom bomb football, and I'm like, oh, this is pretty cool.
Yeah, the atom bomb, because back in the day, the gimmick was the tangible thing you held, really. Like, if you were Brutus the Barber Beefcake, like the scissors. It's like, yo, he's got scissors. He cuts hair. He's scissors. I'm not sure if he ever cut even one lock of hair. I think Dexter Lumis cut more hair this week on NXT than he cut it in his whole barber. Yeah,
he would come out. Whose head did they shave?
Vince McMahon. Donald Trump did it.
No, Bruce.
No longer in SAG, by the way. No longer a union actor. I don't remember. Who did what?
Bruce
Pritchard shaved someone's head?
No, it was who did Brother Brutai shave or trim?
I don't remember. But
the bomb squad, I remember this.
Yeah, so the thing with bombs is my buddy, when you had to get merch back in the day, there's no website. There's no such thing as the internet, okay? Al Gore didn't get around to it yet. But you'd have to get one of those postcards that would fall out of the magazine, that WWE magazine, you know?
Yeah.
And you'd have to send it in with, like, a check, you know? So, like, these kids now probably, like, just, like, well, I don't know what they do. They probably just, like, write down their parents' credit card numbers, right? And then secretly order shit or whatever they do. But, like, you couldn't – it was so hard. You had to be like, Mom, I need a check. I have to mail this away. I have to write really small our address on the thing. But I had a friend whose parents were like, actually buy him this shit. And he would mail away. They would give him a check. It was unbelievable. And so he had Adam Bomb. He had everything. He had those like full print Shawn Michaels t-shirts, Bret Hart, everything. The glasses, like the silver.
Dude, those full print shirts looked so cool. But those old school WWE shirts were not comfortable to wear at all.
No, I know. We've had some of my listeners have tried dousing them in salt for a week to soften them up, and apparently it doesn't do anything. That's so crazy. We like my listeners love merch. So do I. But yeah. So Dan, what's your? Did you have any favorite merch as a kid? Would your parents let you get merch? Do you have any merch still from your childhood, or is it all new?
I remember I had that cool Undertaker shirt where he's zipping up the body bag, you know, and the hand is like, it's the purple glove. It was that purple glove period. It was right after he came back from heaven. And he was like purple Undertaker.
Oh yeah. But was that when they had two Undertakers also? It was gray.
Great. That was Gray Undertaker, yeah. And then the real Undertaker was the purple Undertaker. And then was, I guess he was, you know, he was that Undertaker until WrestleMania, like, 13. And then, he went back to the gray.
Do you notice, like, how are you with remembering, like, early 90s, late 80s wrestling? Like, not from rewatching. I feel like guys like Dipperstein, he like remembers it from his childhood like it was today, you know? And I have to like, for me, it's not like, oh, I watched every Saturday. It was like blips of it was on or blips of like somebody telling me to watch. Like I didn't have like a TV watching schedule.
It was like, you know, it was like every once in a while I'd watch I didn't really start watching pay-per-view until WrestleMania 10. So a lot of it was, you know, the superstars on Saturday, action figures and the magazine. And remember they would have like those books too, that would be like the WrestleMania books.
And, oh yeah.
Yeah, and you would go through that, and you would see all the matches. So I knew all the wrestling. I knew like all the WrestleMania matches. I kind of knew the history of the company just because the WWF was so good at packaging it. You know, I couldn't tell you. And I think that's why everyone's going to remember WWF more, is because they really, their merch, they inadvertently just chronicled everything, you know, like,
right.
So like you can't tell me what the fuck happened during AWA and, you know, 1987, but I can tell you that, oh, that's the year that, you know, Andre turned on Hogan, because that winds up to WrestleMania 3, which is a book that I had, right, that was all 10 WrestleManias, the pictures of every match.
And like that, like if you try to chronicle like early aughts WWE, it'll be like, this is Randy Orton's snake period, and then this is his next snake period, and then here's his next. This is a little bit more snaky, and right, like these wrestlers have. I mean, Randy's such a bad example to bring up because I adore Randy.
Has anyone benefited more from not having an audience than Randy Orton?
Bro, it's
insane.
He thrived with no crowd. He was. I said he was. I ended up, you know, at the end of the year, I do like my marquee ass best wrestler of the year list, you know, and I almost gave it to Randy over Drew. Like I was like, you know, Drew
I gave it to Kenny, but Randy was my number two.
Oh, I didn't give it to I didn't give it to Kenny because I said like I think Kenny, I guarantee Kenny's number one of 2021. Like that was what I was saying. I was like, I guarantee this is going.
Well, my thing is that he like went from having one of the best tag matches of all time to then being the champ in the same year. So that was pretty right. Insane. But
right, I mean, listen, I love Kenny, so I got no beef with Kenny Love. Isn't that one of the just to take a meta step back on this conversation? Isn't it amazing how wrestling makes you jump around so much? Like the amount of tangents when I'm having wrestling conversations is
well, I think it's just
anything
that you know a lot about, you can jump around a little bit, you
right?
Know? I mean, I think that's where it is. It's and it's also like,
so it's not about
what
wrestling?
It is too. It's like if you have a political conversation with someone, there's so many landmines that like yeah, but do we really want to bring up this and that, you know, like, but with wrestling, it's all like on the table. When it's something nerdy, it's just like, oh yeah, this lands to this. That's this.
That's a good point. It's so low stakes.
yeah, for sure.
You're like, it's like, guys, this brings up another thought I have it might be a little controversial for this, but you're like, but I thought that the body bag thing was should have been a white body bag, or like, I don't know, whatever you're gonna say, like something, nothing you say matters. You know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah.
I couldn't think of an example, but
call me crazy. I like the Undertaker Phantom of the Opera period. You know, it's that
right, exactly. Speaking of that, so here's another tangent. Is I really love Kane's mask because it's just a reverse COVID mask.
we talked about on the show. Just man, when he came out for that Rumble, I popped, but for the wrong reasons. You know. Because I was like, holy shit, he really has dedicated his life to governing. That stomach is proof.
Yeah, that was the first time I seen Kane in like any semblance of bad shape, and he still was in pretty good shape for his age, you know.
Yeah, he's still like 53.
I
think they should know. I think Kane should be there until he's 70. Bring him back in every Rumble.
Yeah. Kane is a perpetual jobber to the stars. He is the jobber to the stars. Here's something else, and then we're gonna go back to merch. But like talking about Kane,
I'm just like going through pictures of Adam Bomb and WCW Wrath action figures.
Yeah, it's crazy. He's Adam Bomb, which was like cool. See, now you're stepping on another landmine here. All right, I'm bullet pointing these points.
I liked Adam Bomb. I don't understand why that guy, him and Crush. I like both of those dudes when I was.
I loved Adam Bomb. Just anytime he
heel Crush, not face Crush, heel Crush.
So, talking about Kane being a dentist, not a dentist. He was a dentist. Britt Baker was a dentist. Right, Britt Baker shoot dentist, and then Kane was a work dentist. So, do you think like? Where are you at on Britt Baker? This is random.
I love her.
Me too. And I love how she's a dentist. I love she puts the glove on. There's such a beauty in the work shoot element of like, I'm a dentist. Do you think Kane could come back and have a nice run as a libertarian mayor gimmick?
Definitely not Isaac Yankum, but maybe as a libertarian. I don't know.
I'm a real mayor.
WWE has been so burned politically at this point. I mean, like, Linda half-assedly supported the insurrection.
I know.
Early December. I mean, she didn't, like, she wasn't as bad as, like, Giuliani or any of that. Like, she backed off after a couple weeks. Like, she wasn't, like, you know, she kind of was, like, I mean, she was somewhere in between a Mitch McConnell and Giuliani, you know, as far as, like, where her support of Trump was. But, I mean, one of her, one of her super PACs was linked to the insurrection. Not that she had any knowledge of that. I don't think she did.
Well, Ron DeSantis in Florida deemed wrestling immediately an essential business because Linda's super PAC dedicated $18 million to Florida.
Yeah.
So you're like, whoa, this is going deep. And then it came out Vince didn't even check in with Fox if during the pandemic he could do tape shows, you know? it's so interesting. But
of course you didn't check in. Libertarian mayor. Fuck this. I want more of my money.
If Kane was a libertarian mayor gimmick, he could come out and try to be like, yo, we don't need referees. Would that be like what a libertarian does in wrestling? Like, we call our own matches.
Yeah, we don't need the matches will govern themselves. The matches will officiate themselves.
I do think they need some sort of version of right to censor back. Like, because first off, it would be
retribution. That's the new right to censor.
Oh my god, that's right to change the channel. Folks,
it is. It's the same gimmick for the most part. Even though like one's supposed to be like the Occupy Wall Street movement, it's Antifa. It's for sure. They're doing the same shit.
That is true. I actually never really thought of retribution as Antifa, just because I've never thought about retribution at all. Same way that I realized 10 years after the King of Queens was off the air, what the title meant. I was like, oh, he's the king. He lives in Queens. The King of Queens.
That's fucking so dumb. You didn't know that. That is not a hard one to figure out.
No, it's not about. It's not that it was hard to figure out.
Wait a minute. Everybody doesn't love Raymond.
It's not that it's hard to figure out. It's just that I never saw 1 minute of the show. I never dedicated any brain space to it. So I was like, oh, it's King of Queens. Like, that's what that show's called. I never thought about it. Never. It's like, you know what I'm saying? I mean, listen, I'm also open to the fact that I'm a dumbass. I'm open to that as well. But I'm also saying it's the same thing, like retribution. I have no idea what they're going for because I'm out, you know? You know what I mean? I'm out. So wait, we were talking about merch, okay? Mm-hmm. So what your merch, do you have any childhood merch left over?
Well, we moved a couple times, so yeah. not a lot. I mean, I got rid of most of my figures. I think now if I was like a millionaire, I would be a real belt slut, you know? Like, I've got two belts and one's the Intercontinental title that Rob Van Dam signed.
Ooh, or black strap?
White strap.
Ooh, the Cody belt.
Yeah, which is actually, now that you bring it up, I'm like, oh, well, that's not really his belt. And then the other one I got the World Heavyweight Championship for Flair to sign when I did that roast, but Flair bailed on the roast.
Oh,
so I had Tom McGee sign it instead to show that
he got sick, right? That's like the week he got sick.
Yeah, bro. Yeah. But I wanted Tom McGee instead just to show that like life doesn't sometimes work out.
So you bought the like a replica big gold?
I bought a replica and then I have Tom McGee signed it.
Oh, that's hilarious. That's like you got if you had like Adam Pierce sign your fucking 10-pound gold. Yeah.
It's actually worth less now.
Oh man. So Dan, where are you at on the current state? We're on the road to WrestleMania. I don't know if you know that.
I figured it out.
Yeah, we're on the road to WrestleMania. It's paved with COVID, and so
they're doing spear versus spear again.
Do Do you, okay. Well, that's actually a big, it's not really like a big topic on the show, but dude on the show, Nick Tulo, he's like positive they're going to go Drew Edge. And I keep telling him there's no chance. It's Edge Roman. We made a bet about it. We bet in Fiend fanny packs. You see the on the WWE shop, they have fanny packs that are the Fiend's face. That's the currency we gamble in. He's going to owe me a Fiend fanny pack. But yeah, are you so question, are you excited? What matchups do you think they're going to do based on the Rumble fallout? And then are you pumped for Edge's return? Where are you at?
I'm pumped, man. I really like Edge. And I think his promos have been awesome. And his in-ring work has been really good. I mean, we've only seen a couple matches, but so I'm really excited. I'm excited too that he's, you know, I think him and Roman would tell a really great story. And they have a similar, really exciting main event style. So it would be a blast. The match itself would be a blast. So yeah, I'm excited. You know, are they gonna you know, what are they gonna do with Drew? I really hope
Brock, right?
What?
It's gonna be Brock, right?
Well, yeah, if they get Brock, they'll do Brock. But Finn would kind of be fun, but I guess they can't do that because they just did that last year with Charlotte and Rhea.
Yeah. It's so tough when you see like a guy like Finn is so small. I mean,
you know him and Drew would fucking destroy it.
Right, but you really need to. The problem is it's like I'm not, listen, it's wrestling. We suspend our disbelief. Some of the guys are small. It's not really what matters. They go, we close our eyes, we like Daniel Bryan, blah, blah, blah. But they have to build these guys up in a way where you're like, hey, I buy this match. And I also would like to, I get a lot of casual, a lot of my friends, I always call it the Wadowski test. He's my friend John Wadowski, lapsed wrestling fan, Attitude Era guy, 90s wrestling guy, grew up with him, but he's more of a sports watcher, but he's always checking in. And I always think about him. He gives me a every time around this time of year, he's like, who are the guys? What's going on? And then I always have to like sell him on some guy who's 5'2", you know? And you know what I mean? Like, I don't care. I suspend my disbelief when I'm watching it. But like, he sees Kevin Owens and he's like, wait, what, why? What is this guy? And I don't have, like, I'm like, no, he's awesome.
But hasn't UFC kind of made that okay? Like, there's people in UFC that, you know, if you saw.
That's
like,
always my argument. I agree.
Max Holloway, you wouldn't be like, this guy's a world beater, but. You know, like if you just saw him outside the ring, but inside the ring, he's a fucking monster. So
absolutely, like guy, like someone, like what's his name? What's his name? Roy Nelson knocked out Czech Congo. You know, like Roy Nelson is like literally Kevin looks exact. They if you put him next to Kevin Owens, they look exactly alike. Czech Congo looks like he's cut from steel. He looks like this, right. if he was painted silver, he would look like the Silver Surfer. You know.
Spend my disbelief with Kevin Owens, but can you just suspend your, and I can totally suspend my disbelief when this guy's on the mic, but when he's in the ring, do you sometimes have a problem with Eddie Kingston?
Yeah, absolutely. Eddie Kingston is maybe the worst gear in wrestling. He looks terrible. I mean, Eddie Kingston
What
do you like?
I don't know. I just like.
I don't mean that. That sounded like, yo, what do you like? Because it's wrong, man.
I feel like the fact that his gear is that terrible, like, increases, like, how bitter he is, which complements the character almost.
Yeah. No. I agree with your point. No, I see it from all. I see things from all angles. I also recognize, like, that's why on the pod here we talk about a wrestler just being one of your guys, right? Like, some of my favorite wrestlers are like, I don't want to sit here and talk about their, like, I love Goldberg just because I love I'll always love Goldberg because I love.
Right. If you, it's a work. So it's right, like, so I think Goldberg's terrible, but it's over. Like, who cares? The guy drew money absolutely. And has a cool look.
Right. It's like it's not like he's an aging shortstop and like, you know what I mean? Like where you're right. Like, oh, he can't dive to the left anymore or his hip falls off. No, whatever. It's wrestling. So it's scripted entertainment. So
I think that people everyone should like
Goldberg
everyone.
Because he's such a dick outside of wrestling.
I know, bro.
You know, like he's so annoying, and he's so like he's one of these guys. I really think that like as far as his gimmick, I'm like, you know, whatever, but. Like, I think there's room for that type of gimmick in wrestling. Just, you know, it was the same reason I rooted for Ultimate Warrior matches back in the day. But I think that love his, him. You know, like, for how much he bitches about the business and how great and sweet of a run he's had compared to some of the other guys, I just wish he shut the fuck up. That's all. Like he's always bitching about how people don't know how to book stuff and things like that. And it's like, dude, you do three moves and you're a multimillionaire. Shut up.
Yeah, Goldberg is such a stiff, man. Goldberg was when he came back around 33 and the whole Brock run, which was I loved it. I mean,
that was the best Goldberg since WCW.
He should have hung it up then, but you know, there's just money on the line, whatever.
He doesn't give a fuck about the business.
No. You should have hung it up, but also you kind of sound like a dumb mark when you say hang it up. Like, people need money. Wrestling.
Also, you
got to
be
money.
Careful when you talk about one of the most prominent Jewish wrestlers that he just wants a paycheck. So I'm going to reframe my.
Yeah, I mean, Saint Germain, I was going to call you out on that after the show. I thought that was really offensive to me. But also, you know what else is weird? I also love this drop, by the way.
No more Mr. Nice Jew.
Heyman just called himself a Jew on Raw.
You with that. How do you get a board, man? I got to get a board.
Oh, it's a whole ordeal to do.
All right, you already convinced me not to do it.
It's a pain. It's. Oh, well, I don't know. I'm saying it's very doable. You could do it. It's sometimes the bane of my existence. You need a bunch of equipment to get it to go through Zoom. But let me know what you want, what you need. What were we talking about? Oh, Heyman. Oh, yeah, Goldberg. Yeah, I was doing a bit the other day on the pod that I was I was doing this in the I was watching Rumble on Zoom with some people, and I'll just do it for you because I think it's funny. It's Goldberg. You can't do this bit, but I can. Goldberg going shopping, and he's trying to get deals. Excuse me. Is this Costco? All right, listen. I need 8 garbage bags. This thing comes with 200 garbage bags. So that's $10 for 200 garbage bags. I'm going to pay you $1, which is a 50%, 50 cent saving. Anyway, that's what I'm doing. And it was very funny. I'm Jewish, so I'm allowed to do that. But it was just about Goldberg's such a stiff, you know?
It's like that music, but it's just him complaining about the room temperature.
I know. I did that also. I actually, that's so funny you said that, because I did a whole thing if Goldberg, if I was entering, and I'd be like, I can't tell if I'm hot or cold. And he coughs when the smoke comes down. Anyway, Dan, you can do this stuff. I know you're.
I don't think I'm allowed to.
You're allowed to on my watch. I give you permission. Is that how it works?
I don't know. Once you find out about some of my memberships, you're not gonna agree.
You're a moose and an elk.
My Adam Waffen. Those guys are insane. You know that right-wing supremacist group, Adam Waffen. Those are the guys that they're like neo-Nazis, but they were like targeting like nuclear power plants. And this was all in the last couple of years.
I'll tell you what. I hate that. I hate that shit so much. But if they want to bring it into the wrestling world, it's not a bad gimmick. It's not a bad gimmick. You know what I'm saying?
No, man, it's always bad. Whenever they do this, it's bad. Whenever they try to get like,
dude, I'm gonna ask.
This is a good question. Is there any? Has there ever been a delicate political situation that a wrestling company has handled well?
Political. Do you mean political in terms of like has to be political, or can it just be like controversial? Like, you know,
political. Like, I would say, well, it could be controversial. Like, I think the closest they kind of came was at 35 during the Kofi buildup. Like, there was all this like kind of like hints at institutional racism without them really saying it, and it was kind of done in an artful way, and I think that's why it was the best program that year. But yeah, I mean, for the most part, it's you know, it's a guy, you know, dressed as Hillary Clinton giving a leg drop to somebody,
right? I was trying to have this I know it's like I was trying to have this convo before. Listen, the convo is it's a slightly controversial, but I was like, when they did the Triple H wedding, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which is, you know, terrible that the whole thing was they drug Steph.
Yeah.
And then he goes like, oh, I'm going to
consummate
marriage.
Dude, that was one of the better wrestling weddings, though.
That's like, what I was saying on the
podcast. As far as how it was produced.
Because I brought it up this week because we were talking about the Miro that I don't know who was married, like Kip and whatever her name is, and Penelope E. Ford. And
yeah.
It's like, oh, well, this wedding, like at least that wedding felt like grounded, like a real wedding that Triple H, you believed in the wedding enough where Triple H crashed it. And then I was like, because Steph is in on it inevitably, right? Does that count as a work? I'm not saying they should fuck around with these kind of storylines and whatnot, but because she's in on it, does that make it not okay, but does that make it like you got work?
Yeah, that's right? Fine. I mean, I think that it turned out to be, I think it was fine. I mean, people don't like,
it didn't really happen.
Don't put that angle in the same, they definitely do not put that angle in like the same category as like Katie Vick or even like that, you know, the feud, blood feud that Vince and his daughter had where he beat the hell out of her in that match.
Yeah. Oh, right. Right. Katie Vick is, you're right. It's not brought up, like, it feels controversial, but ultimately it's not brought up in the same way that the Katie Vick stuff's brought up. Anyway, I knew we would get to Katie Vick somehow, and that's how.
You know, it's kind of like that, podcast,
everybody.
It's like Roddy Piper wearing, like, half blackface at, what was that, WrestleMania 7 or 6? I forget. But it's like at the time it was fucked up. Well, no, that was probably worse. I don't know, man. I just love it. I love it all.
No, of course. It is. I mean, wrestling, it's so tricky in that way because it is like supposed to feel real and it thrives when it's a reflection of our actual reality. And so you want it to push real buttons in you. And so it gets tricky when they get to that moment and then they botch it, or if the best way to do it is too hot for people to handle because it is like live TV, you know?
MJF pissed me off like I was a kid on Wednesday. I was so...
What'd he do?
After it happened, like when he eliminated Jungle Boy and then he did the Jungle Boy, like he like started beating his chest, I got like pissed off like a little kid fan would get. I was so happy afterwards. I was like, oh my God, I just got worked.
Yeah. Don't you love getting worked? I got worked. I love getting worked so much and I don't know. It sucks. Cause sometimes I set myself up by doing this pod to like not get worked. And I try to not do that. But like, I kind of got worked cause I was like, oh man, so Kenta revealed his shirt, you know, on AEW and it's like classic Bullet Club design, you know? And I was like, yo, these Bullet Club shirts are so, they're just like, it's like, I still love them just because I'm such a mark. But like, you're like, Kenta, you're not like in the Bullet Club for me. You know, like, you know, like the Bullet Club, it's like, you're not, the New Japan, they're still riding the Bullet Club wave, you know, over there, like same merch, same logo. And I'm like, oh, now it's Jay White. He's at the lead of it. And then they put out a video and I'm like, those guys, they seem sad. Then they put out a video. It was Kenny confronting Kenta in the parking lot, you know? And Kenta's like, yo, fuck you. Get away from me. And I was like, oh, cool. The old and new Bullet Club are going to fight each other. No, I got worked. Like, they're going to keep – it works great, you know? And even
Kenta
if
is such a great heel. He's such like an old – he's like – I know he hated WWF, but he's like such a like classic American heel in that company now.
Oh, yeah. He's – I'm not a Kenta mark, and I say he's kind of allergic to getting jacked, which I wish he could beef up a little bit because I know he had that injury, and then he's not like one of my guys, but I understand people a lot of people that I respect dig him, you know. But it was fun when he popped on AEW, and like just the fact that means we're going to see some kind of New Japan crossover. We already have Impact. Very exciting.
Yeah, we were talking about this pop for our show. We actually talked about this with Robert and Lance Storm and Scott Chaplin and Mike Lawrence yesterday. And
Lance Storm, baby.
Yeah, Lance Storm was on. Yeah, and Lance, you know, Lance had your opinion. Robert disagreed. So it's an interesting, you know, it's interesting debate to see whether or not
Like, because clearly what they're doing is they're doing, like, you know, the NWA type thing, right? Where it's like all these other promotions, you go prove yourself at AEW. But whether or not they're in, it's a risky, you know, it's rolling the dice. It's a very risky thing to do, because there's, you know, and especially you have people in your company, you know, if you're Miro or somebody like from WWE, or if you're a homegrown guy, you know, if you're, I'm trying to think who would be a good example of somebody who kind of was in AEW, then, you know, has been used a lot less. But if you see, you know, them using Kenta and using the Good Brothers, it's got to be like, well, am I ever going to get, here's my controversial opinion. I think it's probably, which I forgot to say this on my podcast, so I'll say it here. I think it's probably easier to get a push in WWE than it is AEW right now.
Easier to get a push in WWE than AEW?
Yes.
I never thought of that. I have right no idea real, what AEW...
Like, do you really think that, like, for instance, do you think that, like Keith Lee would be in the main event scene, or, and I, you know, like, obviously Keith Lee hasn't been booked the best in the world, or like Karrion Kross immediately being, you know, the toughest guy on NXT. It doesn't seem like that sort of upward mobility is possible right now at AEW. There's just not enough real estate.
Yeah. I mean, that is a good point. It's always hard to say that, because WWE feels like so controlled by Vince that I guess I, as a mark, believe that AEW, they're more like, we got to get, yeah, no, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. It's a good point.
But I mean, they put the TNT title on Darby, but I mean,
right.
if this was WWE, Orange Cassidy would probably be in the, first off, he never would get pushed in the WWE, but if it was a WWE type of environment, he would already have been in the main event scene. He may have been champion already.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the question is more like, what does a push actually mean / look like? Like, so WWE, the problem is that the titles feel a little bit more like props to me than in AEW currently. So it's in AEW.
Although right now in WWE, besides, you know, like, I think I can tell you who the tag champs are, but like for the first times, it seems like the U.S. and Intercontinental champions.
Who are the tag champs on both shows?
Ziggler and Rude on SmackDown, yeah. Right?
Yeah.
And on Raw, it's the Hurt Business.
Yes.
And on NXT, it's
tag wrestling does not matter on WWE, which is a bummer.
It is a bummer. NXT, it's Birch and Lorcan.
Yeah, NXT, and then and the Bucks on AEW, but so
yeah.
And also it's Nia and Shayna. They want them back on the pre-show, which I didn't even see for the Rumble.
Yeah, I did when I saw it was on a pre-show. I didn't watch it because I was like, "There's no way they're gonna."
Yeah,
but there you go. You know, anything can happen in the wacky world of professional wrestling.
Yeah. And then Rosenberg won the 24/7 title. A lot of. Said at least one Berg went home with the title that night, so that was good.
But, dude, I was so annoyed at, like, there was like the next day, like on the Observer, Brian Alvarez was like being like, why would they like give him the title? I'm like, I don't know, he's a radio host of one of the biggest fucking media networks.
Yeah, because then
the
like R-Truth popped up on Michael Kay's show and then won it back, like on video. Like that's good for biz.
Yeah,
there's
just so many like
Bad Bunny's huge.
Bad. I mean, if you compare, like, that's the one thing where WWE has really just killed AEW and is the celebrity stuff. And to be fair, they've been, you know, doing it a lot longer.
Right.
Like this, the way they're using Bad Bunny compared to like this this abortion of a Shaq program. What I mean, I can't even describe what's going on there.
I don't know. I like that he calls him Cupcake Cody. I like he calls Cupcake Cody Rhodes. But yeah, I mean, no, I can't defend that. It's so sloppy. Like
it's
sloppy. I don't like when Jade came out and said Shaq the first time. I was like, is she talking about like what? Wait, so I don't even know who you are, and now you're introducing Shaq, who's not there. Oh, you represent Shaq in what capacity? I've never seen you two together ever. What's your relationship?
Not like it's, I don't
why
know
why they having that girl talk. She's like one. She looks like she's like female Lex Luger. Steel. You know what I mean? Yeah. She's physically like one of the most impressive people I've ever seen.
Well, they corrected that this week with that package.
They did. Thank
so
God.
Everyone loved it. Everyone was like, that's awesome. That's exactly what we want to see out of her. And yes. My trainer dude was like, yo, Jade's in there. I'm going to watch AEW now. So I guess she must be a big deal for the meatheads, you know? So, yeah, I mean, listen, it's all, WWE gets a lot right. You know, people love to complain about WWE. They get a lot right. AEW gets a lot right. AEW gets a lot wrong. WWE gets a lot wrong. It's frustrating. Like, AEW, my big complaint with AEW right now is, like, they do need some writers in there because
I don't know if they need writers, but they definitely need somebody. They need some more. They need producers whose emphasis is television and not wrestling right now.
Absolutely.
It's because they're doing things like they're, you know, like having, three of the same chair spot in one night. Like stuff that like anyone who's producing a show would be like, hey, you can't do that because we need it in this segment.
See, my observation, I keep hearing, I totally agree with that. That's exactly like. And I don't blame the workers for not understanding that if they come from a background of like bar wrestling and whatnot, but like also someone like Jungle Boy, who I really like Jungle Boy. I think he has a really cool future. I'm a little bit like, okay, so he's like from the jungle, got it. He rides on a dinosaur, but he's from Valley Village, Los Angeles, and we acknowledge that his dad is Luke Perry. So you're like, okay. So he's just like says I'm Jungle Boy just because of the look, right?
Yeah, I like it just because it's an old. It's the same reason I like Pillman's Sons gimmick, like the new Hollywood, right. The Varsity Blondes or whatever. It's just like such a fun white meat baby face gimmick, and yeah, it's such
I'm,
a throwback.
I'm not saying I hate it, but then for TV, it's a little bit like, oh, so if he's gonna cut a promo. It's just like, so now the dinosaur talks. I just think it's a little sloppy, a little. So just my opinion on how WWE, but yeah, I mean, you know, they both, so listen, if we're going to compare, we'll go on for days. Cause you could just be like, this is good. This is bad. This is it. What do you do with a guy like Ricochet? Like I give that guy a lot of thought recently, like a guy like a Ricochet, like,
jeez, man.
I mean, he's so talented. He's one of the most talented guys they've ever had in terms of
in the ring, of course.
What he can do, he's not been able to.
The problem is, he's in the wrong company,
right?
For what he does, you know,
it's reported he's just signed a big extension. You know,
yeah, I think that they're going to give him some sort of a push eventually, but just because he's too good not to. But
yeah,
you know, man, it's a company where you're on the mic with a lot of sometimes generic. He was from Paducah, Kentucky. I didn't realize that about Ricochet. I dated a girl from Paducah, Kentucky once. It's for another time, Dan.
It's up to you, man. I'm open.
I don't know if he.
You tell me all about Paducah Susan. I would hear about
Paducah
that.
Paducah Susie. he's got it. They make him talk a lot in WWE, and he's just not a great talker yet. He's gotten better, but it's just not his thing. In the ring, you can't touch him. But it's just, yeah. I mean, Vince, unless you can, you know, and you don't have to be an amazing talker, but you have to be a competent. Like, I don't think Drew is an amazing talker. I think he's a good talker, but you have to
He commands.
Like, he commands. You have to have the commanding. That's a good point. Like Charlotte Flair, like her promos are, you know, they're all right. They're not like they're
right, but she has a presence.
But she's commanding enough, yes.
Right.
That she like, you know, makes, you know, like, and she's incredible in the ring, so you believe everything she says.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know. And you know, like being small is gonna
right.
You know, he's a really good looking guy, and I think that always helps in that company.
That's like, what I'm saying. Like, he's such a stud. You think that they would just like keep it. Just it feels like when Vince, I always watch who my wife.
I mean, do you do this with Jamie?
Yeah.
I see who my wife is like. Oh, who's that? And when we like, she watched the Rumble with me. Like, not all of it, but some of it. And like, she had Who's that with Rhea Ripley? That was the only person she had. Oh, who's that with?
Right. I mean, Rhea Ripley. Yeah, absolutely. It's a big deal. You know, I had a Thomas Middleditch texted me the other day, and he was like, oh, I'm watching SmackDown. Like, he's not a mark, you know?
Yeah.
And he randomly was like, he's watching it, and he's like, who are these guys? And I felt like he kind of lost interest really fast, you know? And I was like, which guys? And he's like, yeah, he felt like everyone was kind of boring, you know? And listen, that's not totally fair because it's somebody just popping in, but it is, you know, you do think about that. My mom walked by the screen one time.
When did he watch?
He didn't tell me exactly. What I did was I directed him towards Fiend stuff because I felt like he would get into that. And then he did. He goes, now that's wrestling, when he saw Fiend, you know? Because it's like, he's not going to pop for like Timothy Thatcher, you know? Or like, you know what I'm saying? Like, so I, you know, you just kind of know what people's style is, and then I direct them towards stuff like that if they want it. But like, my mom walked by the screen one time a couple years ago and was like, who's that about Roman Reigns? She was like,
yeah,
my
wife was like, you know? Oh, he's really handsome.
Right. So, you know, Vince is keenly aware of that stuff. I just feel like my whole thing goes back to like the Performance Center, like what's going on in NXT when it was a developmental thing. Now I don't know what it is really. But in terms of the company,
it's just a really solid wrestling show.
Right. But in terms of like the company, I don't really, you know, like it's like, oh, he's supposed to develop you for TV, but then it's already TV. So I know that this week Cash Zono did, you know, Chris Hero did an interview where he was kind of saying they lost their way when they went on TV. I'm not even debating that. I'm just saying, like, I feel like if you're supposed to come out of NXT cooked for main roster, if that's what their idea is, they should be getting way more mic time, a lot of these guys, because they come up and they're not at all ready for that, almost any of them.
I think some of it, too, is, I mean, it's hard enough, like, you know, to switch scripts on somebody who's an actor an hour beforehand, but somebody who's not an actor, it's, I mean, it's really, you know, there are times where I'm like Keith Lee was always a better promo on NXT than on Raw, and Raw, he looks like his feelings are hurt all the time. So I think whatever is the process, you know, and it's not even like that on SmackDown. It's just like, I think like, because there's just so much to get through, like, I don't know. It just seems like everything is just stating, a lot of Raw is stating the obvious, you know?
Right. I mean, it's a multifaceted issue. It's, you know, because I think Moxley's the best guy to track because he came from a prominent spot in WWE to a prominent spot in AEW. So it's kind of like you can compare the two. And, you know, obviously it's going to be your personal preference, but I really do. I hated Dean Ambrose. I really was not a fan at all. Like, I was pretty hard on him on my pod. I thought he was always saying the lamest shit. He was trying to like be like funny, but also tough. And it didn't work for me, but I know a lot of people liked him. It's just personal. But then when he got to AEW, I feel like I got it. I was like, oh, now I see what he is going for. And it makes you think he put his ass on the line. He talked a lot of shit about the WWE creative process, went to AEW, and then showed, here's what I would have done, and it was clear to me, whether you like it or not, you know? Where are you at? You disagree? Do you dig what Moxley's doing in AEW?
I like it.
Do you like
it
more than
like
Dean, or where are you at?
I do like it. He's looking a little less swole lately. I want him to get him back big again, you know?
Now you sound like me.
AEW, man, they need all the size they can get.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what's going on with him. I the joke I was saying on the pod is like, I think he thinks that like, if your wife's pregnant, you can't work out too.
Well, that's the thing. I do think like, me and Scott Chaplin talk about this on the pod all the time. Like, AEW should really take advantage of not having a wellness policy. And like how funny would it be if like one day Marco Stunt just showed up and looked like China?
That would be fucking awesome. my dad is like, he watches AEW and he'll like put them on and flips through. He thinks AEW is like teenagers who are getting ready for WWE. Like, that's what he, you know, when he turns it on. It's like he's like, oh, these guys, oh yeah, they're new, they're doing cool stuff, they're getting ready, they're like getting, they're gonna get big and then go to WWE, like physically big, you know?
Watching it is, it's very you know, like I a lot of people that I know that aren't AEW fans, they'll like message me and be like, wait, what is the, you know, but as a wrestling fan, you're just so relieved they're having fun and it's a different take on wrestling.
Right.
But as a casual fan, all you see is, hey, this guy isn't as big as The Rock.
I know. And it is frustrating because you're like trying to explain people the Daniel Bryan story and whatnot. And then, you know, people see wrestling for what it is. They think it's theater. It's, you know, it's kind of fair because you're like, isn't it? So they're kind of like, oh, if they're small, then what's the point? Isn't it just like man theater? And you're like, you know, but I don't know. I don't even fuck with those people anymore. It is what, you know, I dig it. I know what it is. I'm just praying right now. Like Edge, I think it was really smart that he wrestled on Monday. I was like, he's not going to wrestle until Mania is what I assumed, you know? And then he smartly was like, oh, I'm going to wrestle. I'm going to prove to you guys I'm still can go. Even if it's the risk I get hurt, but we'll see how many times he actually wrestles. I don't know. But I'm pretty pumped for it. So, Dan, last thing I'll ask you before we get out of here is, are you ready for my question? It's a beautiful question.
Okay.
Is who's the top guy in wrestling right now to you? Like, who's the guy you turn on any show and you're like, I can't wait to see what this guy does. Like, who's your eyes at?
I don't know. I mean, there's certain people that I just want to see what they do every week. But whether or not there's one person that's like right now real, I mean, I guess Omega and Callis.
Yeah.
Those two together. They're just doing fun stuff every time and whenever Roman's on, I know it's going to be pretty compelling.
Yeah. I think those are really good picks right now. I would throw maybe MJF at the mix.
He's not in the title. The problem with this feud for me with, it's just the one thing that it's, the fact that they didn't start at all with any wins and it immediately started into a breakup, and it feels too WCW red versus black NWO. Oh, you know,
yeah. Everyone loved that. It's a little
convoluted right now, but do you think this leads to a babyface turn from Sammy or a babyface turn from Sammy and Jericho and Wardlow?
I was thinking just Sammy, maybe Sammy and Wardlow break out, but I was like, definitely, I think they're going to try to go Sammy, like get Sammy, like to be like the kid who escaped, you know?
Oh, like the cult?
Yeah. Like kind of like, you know, or like the bullies, the frat, like he is the one who was like, yo, this is, he's going to have his like, Joshua Jackson in the skulls. Which is like, yeah. Yo, this is whack. This is not worth it. You know what I mean?
Ooh, dude, we got to end on a Skulls reference. You can't get any better than that.
I know. No, Dan, great talking to you, man.
Great talking to you, too, man.
Dan, plug your pod, Total F and Marks.
Yes, Total F and Marks. We got Lance Storm on this week. You were on an episode 2 weeks ago.
Yes.
This is the road to WrestleMania. This is for all the money in the world. We also have a Patreon. We're going to be talking the Yokozuna documentary, which was fantastic if you haven't seen it.
I haven't watched it yet. I'm going to.
Very good. They're new icons. It's a real sad wrestling story that Vince isn't culpable, which is nice.
Yes.
Like that's the one thing that.
Oh, I'm is that what it is?
I'm like, oh, Vince isn't the reason this is depressing. This is just a guy who couldn't stop eating. Okay.
when does your pod come out?
Well, the new one with Lance Storm is out today on Friday. Our Patreons come out on Monday. So check us out.
Dope, dope. Check it out, everybody. And check out our Patreon. After, you know, check out Dan's. He's our guest today. So you check out Dan's stuff. And then go to our patreon.com/comedianswrestling. Get access to our bonus episodes and all of our bonus content. Dan, awesome talking to you today.
Dude, thanks so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Peace, bro.
Peace.
Comedians of wrestling.